nation be exalted. Yes, the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Be exalted. I will call upon the Lord. Good morning. It's wonderful to join in those songs. So beautiful this morning, and we're happy to have the Kaiser family with us from Louisiana today. I think you guys take up the whole side of the building over here this morning, so it's really nice to have you with us. You sing beautifully. I was thinking about the Louisiana, you know, the Louisiana purchase. They made a purchase of $15 million, I think it was, and they bought all the way through the Mississippi River, the Missouri River, all the way up to the Canadian border, and they had the Lewis and Clark expedition. Then Secretary Seward, he bought Alaska, and everyone was laughing at him for $7 million they paid to buy Alaska after the Civil War. So really, those things were very important in the expanding out of our country and enjoying those things today. But it's great to have all of you with us here from back that part of the country. We hope to have a wonderful cruise this week up to Alaska. It's good to have Matt and Melissa back from Hawaii with Luana. Hope you had a nice time over there. So let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 18 this morning. I want to remember that Walter is leaving tomorrow for El Salvador for a month. Walter, we're going to be praying for you, safety on that trip. God bless you in what you're undertaking there for your mom. So let's open to Luke chapter 18 this morning. And we're looking into the parables of Jesus. Jesus taught many parables and stories that he told that were able to be understood and capture people's attention. We picture Jesus standing in some of those villages and a crowd of people gathering around, listening attentively as he would tell these stories, and then the deeper lessons that they contained for a spiritual application of our lives. And such a beautiful part of the teaching of Jesus that we are able to learn from today. I listened to a podcast I really enjoy called Our American Stories, and they tell a lot of beautiful, very interesting stories about America. So Jesus told these parables, and they're very insightful, very helpful to us dealing with spiritual truths in our lives today. So I'd like to read in Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 1 down through 14. There's actually two parables here that tie together as Jesus is talking about prayer in both of these parables. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, And she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We live in a difficult world today that is not friendly to the life of a Christian. And Jesus was well aware of this. And one of his concerns as he approached nearer to the cross was to help prepare his followers for living in this hostile world that we live in today. And one of the ways that Jesus knew that we needed encouragement is in this area of prayer. Because the way that we endure in this world that we live in is not just through determination, but it's by prayer, by learning to rely on the wonderful power and realization of prayer that we have available to us. Because it's through prayer that we can gain access to our Father and experience a true relationship with Him and know that we are never alone in this world, that we have Him here to help us as we face some of the trials and temptations of this world today. So here in Luke chapter 18, Jesus was teaching his disciples about the importance of prayer. And this was one of the themes of the Gospel of Luke, was the importance of prayer in the life of Jesus and in the parables of Jesus. So we look this morning now into the parables here. And the first thing that we see that Jesus emphasizes is the fact that I need persistent prayer in my life. He says here in verse 1, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." The word "lose heart" here means to give up. Out of despair or out of the feeling of tired of fighting. Because sometimes living the Christian life, we feel like we are fighting against the stream, fighting against the current. And so there is this tendency that we all sometimes feel of giving up that is caused by the weariness that comes from living in a sinful world as we do. So Jesus told the parable to say that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The way that we can keep from quitting and getting discouraged is through prayer. So Jesus teaches us to always pray, that we should pray regularly and consistently. Many of the Jews of Jesus' day taught that you should pray three times a day, but some of the rabbis said, don't be praying more than that because God is busy and we don't want to weary Him. The Muslims, of course, today, they have a five times a day to pray on their prayer rugs. But Jesus, of course, is teaching us that we need to always pray and not lose heart, because that is how we remain strong. That is how we avoid the discouragement that Satan gives us. So he begins to tell the parable here in verse 2, saying that there was in a city a certain judge that who did not fear God nor regard man. This judge was certainly not very well qualified by the Old Testament standards of the law, because in the law of Moses, it taught that in order to be a judge in Israel, a man had to care about the people. A man had to be just and fair and concerned about the people. And yet this judge was not. He did not fear God. He did not care about people. And so he had his position and his power and his authority to decide cases. And this widow, though, who lived in this city, came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And this judge ignored her for a long time, apparently. But it says that he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, the judge yielded to her demands only because of her persistence. It wasn't because he cared about her situation. He just wanted to get rid of her. She was coming continually to him, and so he finally gave in and vindicated her and allowed her to have what she was asking so that she would not keep coming to him. Now Jesus said in response to that, or to explain what his point of this was, he said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Jesus here is not making a comparison between this judge and God. He's making the point that our God is just the opposite of this judge. This judge granted, though, the request of this widow that he did not care about. He could care less about her, but he granted her request because she was persistent. Jesus' point is that shall not God avenge his own elect? We do not have a judge that does not care about us. We have a loving Father, and we are his elect, chosen people. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are his elect. We are his chosen. We are in a place of special affection and attention to our Father. And therefore, for us to think that we have to continually weary our God in order to gain his attention, it's nothing like that. It's just the opposite of that. His point is that with God, we have the avenue of prayer open to us at all times, that we can go to him with the assurance he does hear our prayers, he does care about our needs, and he will answer, and he will speedily avenge those who are suffering injustice, who are being mistreated, who are feeling all alone. Our God hears and cares about us. But his question then is the one that is very probing to us and very profound. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" And this is a question that really causes us to self-examine our own hearts as to whether or not we will be, when Jesus comes, people who he will find in prayer, diligently in prayer, praying for his return, praying for his help in our lives to help us remain strong and remain faithful to him until he comes again. That is a question that we can only answer, each one of us, to ourselves. When Jesus comes again, will he find you a praying follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus continued then in verse 9 with another parable. He said, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." This really is a parable for the me generation that we live in today. You know, as our society drifts further and further away from our biblical foundation and roots, our culture seems to be conspiring to fill the place that ought to be reserved for God with self. We hear all sorts of words like, "Loving yourself is the greatest virtue of all. I need to feel good about myself. I owe it to myself." So self has become, in our day and time, the ultimate source of truth and value in many people's lives. Your problem, we're told, is not sin or rebellion against God, but a loss of self-esteem. And yet Jesus is clear that the real meaning in our life does not come when self is in the center. The humanism of our day has robbed us of our true dignity as created in the image of God and replaced that with, we are a product of evolution and we have no real purpose in our life. Jesus is clear that the meaning of our lives comes when we put God in the center of our life, not self. We're not going to be the ones that are going to be able to produce a righteous fruit from our lives that brings glory to God. Just the opposite. As Ted, you were talking about this morning, how our worldly thinking today has brought about a descending into immorality and paganism in our lifestyles. Jesus taught this parable then to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He went on to say that two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, the Pharisee was very recognizable in Jesus' day among the people as a morally upright person, a very, very religious person. And the tax collector, of course, was scorned by the Jewish society because of their compromise with the Romans and working to collect taxes from their own people. So you had two people here that one of them coming up into the temple to pray would be very expected, a very normal thing to see. But to see a tax collector coming into the temple would raise many questions. How did he even get in here? The Pharisee stood, he said, and prayed thus with himself. And it's so Interesting how this man's prayer, he said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. He addressed God, but after that he never did speak of God again. He never gave God any praise. He never gave God any acknowledgement. It was like he was congratulating himself to God on what a wonderful person he was. Like the old children's song said, what a good boy am I. And he was there talking to God about all the good things that he was doing and looking around and, God, I'm thankful that I'm not an extortioner. I'm thankful that I'm not unjust, a thief or an adulterer, or even like this publican over here. Then he goes on to talk about all the good things that he was doing. I fast twice a week. The law of Moses didn't require that. So he was talking like, Lord, you see that I am doing even better than what the law of God requires of me. But Jesus said the tax collector, he was standing afar off. He would not even lift up his eyes to look to heaven. And he was beating his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The surprising thing was Jesus' comment after that. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This would have come as a surprise, I think, to some of the people even that were Jesus' followers who were listening to him teach the parable. That this is the man that went down to his house justified. And the word justified is a very significant term when we think about the teaching of the New Testament, how we are forgiven of our sins, that God counts to us righteousness through Jesus, and we are then accounted righteous and justified in his sight. Jesus is saying that this man went down to his home forgiven, justified before God, because in his prayer, he was contrite and he was humble. He humbled himself before God and he sought forgiveness from God. And this man then went down to his house justified rather than the other. We see then that God here in his word calls for humility in our prayers. He calls for persistence, as was demonstrated in the life of the widow. But he also calls for humility. On the one hand, Jesus encourages us that we should never look at God, that he is like that judge who has to be pleaded with, who has to be bothered over and over again to get his attention. God is nothing like that. He is waiting to hear from his children. But when we come to him, we need to come with humility, knowing that God is an awesome God. I love the verse in Isaiah 57 and verse 15, where Isaiah says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God is pleased then and rewards those who come to him with a contrite spirit. As we think about these parables then of Jesus and the lessons of prayer that he is encouraging from us today as we live in this world that is oftentimes so against what the principles of Christ teach in our lives, Jesus is teaching us that a loving God answers persistent prayer. That humble prayer is answered and rewarded by our Father. And that finally, we should never give up on God. We should keep praying. Keep praying. That is how we remain strong until Jesus comes again. And he is returning. He is coming again. Thank you for your attention this morning. We're going to stand, sing the invitation song. That if there is one here today that needs to commit your life to Jesus in obedience to the gospel, to come forward, confess your faith, and be baptized into Jesus Christ this morning, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.
God is calling the prodigal home without delay.